Culture Show.
Don't make me say it's so hot right now.
Tan caliente ahora! Your weekly dose of arts and culture.
And all of that sort of stuff.
It's that weird thing that they're classics because they're classics because they're classics, and then they become the classics and everyone wants to do the classics because they're classics.
He's amazing.
Well, you need a lot of room for all that blood.
And he's hot as a firecracker.
You're listening to So Hot Right Now. You better not use me saying that.
Amazing babes.
On 2SER 107.3.
Good morning and welcome to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. Now, before we get started, I'd like to acknowledge the Gadigal people who are the traditional custodians of this land. I would also like to pay respect to elders both past and present of the Eora Nation. So I'll be with you for the next hour until midday talking about all things arts and culture as per usual. On the show today, we've got an exhibition as well as a theatre show and a festival. So I think it's a quite a nice eclectic mix to get us to midday. So the exhibition is entitled While You Were Sleeping and is presented by Ambush Gallery, who are about to open a brand new space in Canberra. So the group show features works from First Nations artists from all across the nation, varying in levels of skill, both established and emerging. And I'll be speaking with Black Douglas, who is from Redfern, about his featured work in the exhibition. And Batch Festival is well underway, as we all know, and I'll be speaking about Never Let Me Go. This is a show set in the 1980s in which the AIDS epidemic was felt strongly all around Sydney. So this show explores that time, but is also paired with an kind of interesting a cappella 80s soundtrack. So I'm excited to get into that one a little bit later on. And up next, I'm chatting about a festival which is all about podcasting, which is, I think, quite meta. And so stay tuned because I'm going to talk to the people from Audiocraft, an organisation and festival leading the way for Australian podcasting. And that is coming up next. But to get us there, here is a track from Faye Webster, one of my all-time favourites. She released this yesterday. This is called The Right Side of My Neck. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now.
Your haircut, but it looks good anyway. I kinda wonder where you got it, and I doubt you even paid. The right side of my neck still smells like you. The right side of my neck still smells like you. Thank you.
whole mixed bag of goodies today.
It's pretty sexy too.
I hope you enjoy.
2SER 107.3.
You are tuned into So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of all things arts and culture with myself, Nicole Beck. And we are talking all about Audiocraft, which if you're a listener of the show or really any type of radio will be of interest to you. So Audiocraft is an Australian festival leading the way in all things podcast making. The three-day festival involves provocative talks, live events, and of course the opportunity to meet other audio makers and fans. Joining me to chat more about the event is Jess Binneth, and the founder and director of Audiocraft, as well as Olivia Rosenman, one of the festival's panelists. Good morning.
Hi, Nicole.
Hey, great to be here.
Great to have you. So, Jess, I might start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about Audiocraft as an organisation and when and how it all began?
Yeah, so Audiocraft started out as a festival. This will be our fourth one, and Kate Montague and I sort of thought that there was not enough hanging out. You know, like radio makers were often in a studio, much like this one, by ourselves, and we wanted to kind of get everyone together and to kind of talk shop, talk about, all the nerdy audio things that we really love to talk about. So we did our first festival 4 years ago, and it was small. There were about 100 people there, and then it just kind of grew really quickly. As you said, it's now a three-day event. We get about 700 people through across the weekend, which I think says a lot about how excited everyone else is getting about audio. There's a lot of new people who are sort of coming into the community. And really, it's just a couple of days to get nerdy about sound, listen to really great work, talk about, what it takes to start a podcast. We have workshops and we have like big industry talks, which is what Olivia is sort of leading the way on at this year's festival. So yeah, it's a great weekend.
Awesome. And is that something that you have maybe noticed around the world, this kind of network building in audio at all? Or is it unique to Australia, do you think?
No, I think it's definitely something that is sort of going on all around the world. Third Coast is probably one of the biggest conferences that happens. It's in Chicago. It's been going for like 16 years. That's kind of like, that used to be the really big podcast festival that everyone would flock to every year, and people still do. But I think it's also become this thing where in your local community, people are taking those lessons back and starting their own thing. So yeah, there's a lot of conferences in Europe, and there's a lot more that happen in the States now as well. And there's a few that happen in Australia too. But I think Audiocraft has been going the longest, and so
wow,
there's some good groundswell there. Yeah.
And yeah, as you mentioned, it's been going for 4 years. How has the industry changed over that time? Have you observed, besides the growth in the festival, have you observed many other major changes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact that we have, five times the amount of people that are coming through the doors, I think speaks to how many people are kind of getting into audio and wanting to make their own podcast. We also run an agency alongside the festival, and Olivia is one of our producers, and the increase of work that we're seeing coming through, in terms of people that want to make podcasts, I think speaks to, the interest there from people outside of audio, nerdy audio networks, and also the money that's kind of coming into audio and the innovation in tech, I think is improving. And so, you'll have noticed in your podcast feed, there's far more to listen to now. So I definitely think it's international.
Yeah. And I often hear people say that this is, the golden age of radio and stuff like that. Do you agree with that kind of sentiment, or do you think it's always be in the golden age?
Yeah, it's a bit of a controversial question, and it's definitely something that comes up every year at Audiocraft. I think radio is still really big. I think it has been for a really long time. Australia has a long history with, audio drama and audio arts. And so I think that has always been there. I think what we're seeing is maybe podcasting becoming more mainstream and readily available. It's, your phone's always on you, and therefore it's not just about listening at to the radio at home or in the car. Now you've got sort of audio on you at all times. And so I think we're seeing it mainstream and widen out there.
Awesome. And Olivia, can you tell me a little bit about your background in podcasting, where you've come from?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I got my start right here in this studio, in fact, Nicole. I started making radio with 2SER with a show called Fourth Estate. And
I think that still happens.
It definitely still does. So I made a bunch of stuff here and then was very lucky to be taken into the Audiocraft agency at a certain point. So I've been making a bunch of podcasts with them. I had my own podcast also for a while, which is on a bit of a hiatus for the moment. So, yeah, I've been making a range of branded podcasts, story-based narrative podcasts for the past two-ish years now, maybe almost 3 years. Also History Lab at, which is also a 2SER production.
And so you're featured on a panel, produced a panel all about storytelling. Can you explain why you wanted to explore this?
Yeah, so one of the other things that I've been doing for the past year is working with Google's Creative Lab, which is an amazing, very cool little part of the organization that is basically there to make projects, sort of creative technology projects, so explore the kind of intersection between culture, storytelling, and technology, often in partnership with big or small cultural organizations, theaters, galleries. I've been doing that for the past year, which has been an amazing experience and has really exposed me to a lot of very cool technology in the storytelling space. And that's what my panel is sort of going to look at, the future of sort of the future. And I think I've sort of noticed that a lot of the past conferences, there's kind of these talks about the scary future of technology and how it's going to change storytelling and, AI, it's all very scary. And I kind of want to have a more concrete conversation about some of the amazing technology that is available now and how that might actually change what we do.
It seems across the whole festival there's a kind of a nice balanced exploration of both the technological side of things as well as the ideas-based thing. Is that something that you find is important to display?
Yeah, and certainly what I want to do on the panel is kind of look at how, technology is technology. In the end, our role as audio makers, as storytellers, is to tell great stories. And there's a number of different ways we can do that. And I think, there are some interesting questions that we might start to ask when we look at sort of how technology has changed media thus far. It's about kind of breaking down more traditional mediums, breaking down art forms often into smaller pieces that we kind of consume, when we want, where we want, and how we want. So how might that go ahead and manifest itself in audio and in podcasting? I think it's really interesting to start thinking about things like nonlinear narrative. We as an audience or as users sort of expect these days, we don't really want to just start at the beginning and go through to the end with all kinds of media. Like, we're kind of just much more used to dipping in and dipping out and following something one way and then coming back. Fundamentally it's not we're just going to sit there and geek out about technology for an hour, which as much as I would happily do that, it's more about let's see what's available now, what might be available in the near future, and how might we make use of those, what might not be useful, that kind of thing.
Great. And Jess, would you be able to give us a little bit more of an overview of who's featured on the lineup and what we can expect from the festival?
Yeah, so there's three main days to the festival. On the Friday night, we've got like a live storytelling night where we're bringing in dance and comedy and a whole bunch of other stuff to sort of bring storytelling alive. So that's on the Friday night. On the Saturday, that's our main day. That's our conference day. And so that's happening at the Australian Film and Television School this year. And it's a really big program. We have like just under 50 speakers who are coming in for the day to run workshops and meetups and panel discussions. We've got people coming out from overseas as well. Avery Truffleman from 99% Invisible. We've got some people from the Spotify New York office coming out. Ian Shillag from Radiotopia, Everything is Alive, which is one of my favourite podcasts at the moment. Jonathan Zenti from Italy. Joseph Michael from New Zealand. So we've got lots of different people coming out to kind of share what they know with the Australian community. And we've got locals coming in as well. So Olivia, Tim Roxra from Unravel at the ABC. We've got a whole bunch of local makers as well coming from all over Australia who will sort of come in and we'll pull apart how to make a podcast, kind of dip into the really big questions around looking after yourself when you're doing creative work, you know, pitching, how to do really good, you know, perform and do a really good live pitch. So there's it's a huge program this year, and you can find out more about it on audiocraft.com.au. The actual program comes out on Wednesday, so that will be live. But we've also got heaps of information up there at the moment around what that day looks like. And then on Sunday, we're at the Royal Botanic Gardens to do a little bit sort of more out in the field. We'll be doing workshops on how to actually record outside. We'll be doing live podcast events. We're doing a future podcast panel where three podcasters get up and do their show live from the year 2062. So Helen Zaltzman from The Illusionist will get up and sort of do her show as though we're coming live from the future. It's a really big day and there's something for everyone and we're really excited about it.
100%. And what are you hoping that people or maybe aspiring content creators get out of attending the festival, ideally?
So the theme this year that we're working to is community, collaboration and connection. So it's very much about coming in to this space and feeling really good about the work that you're doing and meeting other people who are at a similar level to you and, you know, people that you might be able to join up with and collaborate with, even if it's just about like sharing the work that you're doing, finding someone who is better at mixing or sound engineering or music to kind of, you know, work with you on the storytelling podcast that you're doing. So yeah, this year it's very much about coming, finding your people, and skilling up together, and just sort of like geeking out on really good sounding audio.
Sounds like a wonderful way to foster a community. Well, great. Thank you so much for joining me and telling us all about Audiocraft.
Thanks.
Pleasure.
So I've just been speaking with Jess and Olivia all about Audiocraft Festival, which is coming up on May 31st and running until the 2nd of June. So tickets are now on sale. And as Jess mentioned, the program will be released soon. And we'll put all the details up to the event on our website so you can check it out there. Right now, I'm going to play a track from Lady Ray. This is Piece of Me. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now.
You've been the best at times. You walk me through my darkest days. What must have turned around? I ask myself. This just ain't fair, so hard to bear. I'm not really sure these days. I've stashed some memories to ease the pain. You've been dear to me, that's why it's hard to walk away. Simple things.
To SER wishes to acknowledge the custodians of the land from which we broadcast, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation and the Wadumatagal clan of the Darug Nation, and their elders past, present and emerging. We acknowledge and respect their continuing culture and the contribution they make to the life of this city and this region.
You are tuned into So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of all things arts and culture. If you missed my last chat just there, I was talking all about Audiocraft Festival. And as usual, you can listen back on our show page if you look for So Hot Right Now on the 2SCR website. And up next, I'll be chatting about multi-award-winning Ambush Gallery, which is not your typical exhibition space. The gallery continues to make a cultural stamp on Australia's regional hubs with a new exhibition in the ACT. And I'll be joined by an artist featured in While You Are Sleeping, which is the inaugural exhibition in the new gallery in Canberra. So stay tuned, that is up next. But to get you there, here is a track from No Name. This is All I Need. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now.
No name off the drug, no name quit the weed. Telephone delight, love is all I need. My honey be red, black and green, majestic queen. This for my homies, my homies say love. This for my homies, my homies say love. This for my homies, my homies say. Like maybe I'm a miss you after autumn and all of the falling collars and ringers when stingers hitting my telly and telly page and my beeper. The reefer got me like, whoa, slow down. I need a minute for minute's sake, a dinner plate. A Casanova with catalogs of his dinner days make me feel special, J Electro Soul. I need a nigga to follow me to the rabbit hole and fall in where I fall in. I'm ballin', I'm on control. I'm ballin', I'm on control.
You say you see a way that I cannot see, then say that I never knew it all. Just trying not to fall, and now I'm chasing patience. I need it for greatness. Look at this time I'm wasting. Mad at how it ended. Really, if I tell the truth about it, if it's not how I want it, it's just how I need it. If it's not how I want it, it's just how I need it. If it's not how I want it, it's just how I need it. If it's not how I want it.
Everything is everything, a cigarette, a wedding ring, and tell me that you love me and love me tomorrow. The matrimony catalyst for secondary, get to know me in Chicago, how I go where you stay. An orthodox paradox and a paradox with an overbite, oversight to a merry clock. Happy-go-lucky was the time, you and I. Happy-go-lucky was the time, do or die. You remind me to love myself for the principle, for the kid inside. Till the end of time, happy go lucky was the time. Okay. No name off the drug, no name quit the weed. Telephone delight, love is all I need. My honey be red, black, and green, majestic queen. This for my homies, my homies say love. My homies say love. My homies say.
You say you see a way. I cannot see, then say that I never knew it all. I'm just trying not to fall, and now I'm chasing patience. I need it for greatness. Look at this time I'm wasting. Mad at how it ended. Really, if I tell the truth about it, if it's not how I want it, it's just how I need it. If it's not how I want it, it's just how I need it. If it's not how I want it, it's just how I need it. If it's not how I want it, it's just how I need it. Thank you.
are tuned into So Hot Right Now with myself, Nicole Beck. It is 11:30 on your Saturday morning, which means we've got about half an hour left to talk about all things arts and culture. And right now I'm talking about While You Were Sleeping, which brings together a selection of emerging and established First Nation artists from all across Australia. The group show displays works covering several genres, including painting, illustration, sculpture, film, photography, and mixed media. The show is presented by Ambush Gallery at their new space in Cambry, in the country's capital. While You Were Sleeping features a wide range of artists, including Sydney-based Black Douglas, who was joining me on the show this morning to tell us a little bit more about the exhibition and his practice. Good morning.
Where am I?
So can you tell me a little bit about the works you're showing in this exhibition, just a bit of an introduction?
I can tell you a lot about it.
That would be great.
Arduous process. Before I begin, acknowledge your mob there and mob across the continent. And the show looks pretty exciting, doesn't it?
I'm excited, yeah.
Yeah. The works that I've made were a tedious process whereby I had found a freshly deceased fruit bat in the gutter on my early morning walk, and he was too handsome to just leave to the ants, so I actually, no joke, found a fruit box nearby. So I put the fruit bat in the fruit box and walked him back to my place and put him in the freezer, just thinking that one day I'd kind of try and attempt to mold this fella. And that's what transpired. It took about 3 months before I found somebody to help me with it. And that's the wonderful Claire Tennant, Claire Tennant Molding up in, up here in Sydney in Marrickville. And we set the task, and the ultimate result is that we've got in this exhibition 7 hand molded and hand painted beautiful examples of what we call in the Darug language here in Western Sydney, Wurrumbai. And Wurrumbai is the dominant male totem for the Darug. And he's a pretty impressive creature and a very handsome one. So there's 7 hand-painted ones, and after I'd hand-painted them for originally a display at Customs House, Circular Quay, Claire reminded me that, you know what, we can make we can plate these fellas in anything you want to do. And I just kind of ambitiously said, oh, what, could you do gold-plated? She goes, yeah, of course. So there's the Rolls-Royce version, and these are 18-carat gold-plated example.
Wow, that is insane.
Mm.
I can't believe that all started just by walking past a fruit bat.
Yeah, well, you know, fortunately he was on the ground and looked like had a pretty comfortable last minute. His wings were folded. He looked basically like, you know, Batman does with his cape around him. And I suppose I'm not the only one that's often admired those fellas when they're hanging upside down, and always thought of how, you know, growing up with Batman and Robin and other superheroes at the time, I thought this fella needs to be memorialized as a superhero. And so that's why I hand-painted them in various colors. And each of them have a big W on the back for Wurrumbai. And I made them into superheroes, and because they pretty much are. And most totems for Indigenous people are actually superheroes.
And was that an idea that you'd always wanted to do, or were you just particularly inspired by walking past the fruit bat that one day?
Yeah, it was a knee-jerk response. I saw that fellow lying there. He just was so peaceful and beautiful. And so it just had to be done, I felt.
Definitely. So your practice, in your practice, you use a range of mediums, including illustration and photography and painting. Did any of that kind of background inform your work in this exhibition?
Well, look, there's a trademark style, really. I guess my stuff's always bold and uses block colours and heavy key lines and outlines and whatever. So I think even though that this was a little kind of left field foray into sculpture. They're still identifiably Black Douglas stuff, but I guess my bread and butter is canvases, acrylics on canvas. But thankfully, the same paint worked on resin, and we have the end result being these gorgeous suite of seven vats. I like to work in sevens, because of Seven Sisters Dreaming. And, so we've got seven varying colors of these vats that will suspend by musical triangles, which we found the best way, to get these little hooked feet hanging off something, you know? And, there's also included the first mold that came out of the cast, and that's kind of really tailored for the people that like their gore and their macabre, because there's tufts of hair coming out of that one. And it was a pretty smelly process to arrive at the first mold.
Can I ask what you've done with the bat since that process ended?
Again, sorry?
Where is the bat now?
Oh, the bat, he's gone back to the earth. Awesome. And you don't get much remaining when you've cast something that was originally living. So that became the smelly part of the process.
So the exhibition, the group show, is entitled While You Were Sleeping. What does that title mean to you, and how is that observed in your work?
It actually resonates really well, because Uncle Kev Carmody, in the song One Night the Moon, which was co-performed by Paul Kelly, and for the beautiful musical short film, One Night the Moon. One of my favorite lines in Aboriginal songwriting comes from Kev Carmody in that song, where he says, "You won't see what you don't understand." And basically that's talking about spirituality on this continent, on the land, on country. And so it talks about, you know, it's such a strong, it's just a simple line that is a metaphor for the fact that white fellas failed dismally in the early days of the colony, like Burke and Wills and those fellas that wouldn't listen to the black fellas who had been on that country for, you know, thousands of years. And so while you were sleeping is something that's when the spiritual stuff happens, you know. And also that's when the great warriors, the great resistance fighters like Al Pemulwuy down here, that's when they did their action. It made sense. You move at nighttime while the other people are sleeping.
And your work, as we have just discussed, sounds incredible and incredibly provocative and interesting. How are you hoping it will affect viewers who see it for the first time?
Well, in this particular show?
Yeah, this particular.
It's just going to be exciting to see this. Like, these are some of my favorite artists who I haven't exhibited with before. And bar one, which is Michael Cook, who's just an incredible photo media artist. But I'm really looking forward to seeing the variety of works, and I think it's going to be a stunning show. So I'm leaving it up to the wonderful mob at Ambush to display these bats in a illustrious way that's complementary of their form. And And I think it's going to be pretty spectacular to see it all happening.
I think your faith is in very good hands.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me, Black, and good luck with the rest of the exhibition.
Thank you. And may I just say big ups to sovereignty for Aboriginal people, and don't believe the hype of the election.
I couldn't agree more.
Thank you.
I've just been speaking with artist Black Douglas ahead of his appearance at While You Were Sleeping. This exhibition opens on May 23rd at Ambush Gallery in Cambry, and it sounds like an absolutely spectacular show. So if you are in the ACT or heading there for any reason, I do highly recommend that you check it out. I'm going to play another track now. This is Wind It Up by Mumbo Jumbo. You are listening to So Hot Right Now. We'll be right back.
are tuned into So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture with myself, Nicole Beck. That there was a track from Mumbo Jumbo, one of my current faves at the moment, that is Wind It Up. So Sydney during the 1980s was a very different place. With the AIDS epidemic enveloping the city, the mood was contentious, fraught with collisions of activism and religious dogma. Batch Festival's Never Let Me Go explores this period. And stay tuned, because for my last story of the day, we're talking all about that with the director and writer Adriano Capitella. And to get us there, I'm going to play another track. This one is from Andreas and Oscar. This is Friendship Theme. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now.
Yeah. We just want to listen to you. We just want to be right with you. Do you want to be right with me?
We can talk it over, over. Won't you come a bit closer, closer? Tell me what you're thinking, thinking. I'm down to listen, I'm listening.
There's to push, challenge and innovate.
2SER.com.
I think you'll agree this is a bit of a winner.
in Australia, our understanding of what a Chinese person is, what an Asian person is very, very much limited.
I don't like people who say we're reliant on China or China is reliant on Australia more.
The Middle returns for another season of debate and discussion of Australia-China relations, covering everything from national cybersecurity to the tea and wine trade. Tune in Wednesday nights at 6:30 for weekly insights into Australia's relationship with the world's newest superpower, and catch up on the podcast at themiddleau.com.
Hello and welcome back to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. And right now I am talking about Never Let Me Go, which is set to be one of the highlights of this year's Batch Festival. Never Let Me Go chronicles the history of the AIDS epidemic in Sydney in the early 80s and dramatizes a tumultuous decade that saw the soldiers of AIDS fight fear with enlightenment and love. Here to tell us more is Adriano Capoletto, the writer and an actor in the show. Good morning, Adriano.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. So the production centres on the retelling of a poignant time in Sydney's history. Can you fill in our listeners a little bit more about the background of this show and what this time was like?
Yeah, well, actually, it's interesting you say like a poignant time. And, you know, I think it was probably obviously a really tragic time. But what I was really interested about this story was that when AIDS sort of first broke in the early 80s in Sydney, there was a really progressive Labor government at the time, and the health minister and his senior advisor, the senior advisor to the health minister was actually a gay man who spent his time in Darlinghurst, then in Canberra, and he had already had links to all these gay community groups. And so when AIDS hit, we were sort of prepped for all this to happen, and rather than taking a moral kind of stance of saying our gay people are living a depraved lifestyle, like America did, what Australia did was we actually, community groups sort of mobilized together, and we started talking about safe sex and prevention, and we educated drug users and we educated gay men and sex workers. And we were actually super progressive, which I don't really think a lot of people know about.
Yeah, that's definitely a surprise. You just, I guess, assume it would be bad, which is...
Yeah, you just assume that actually people would go, oh, well, you know, we're talking early 80s, so it's not like gay men and women were not as accepted as, you know, sort of they are now. It wasn't as sort of out there. You know, when you think in 1978, we had the first Mardi Gras where almost everyone was arrested there. So this is about around 1983 where we start the show. This is like 5 years later, and AIDS hits. And actually... So what I was really wanted to tell was a story of like the gay community who, I guess the wider community just saw them as maybe people who just wanted to just have a lot of sex, were a bit depraved, and just went out and partied and everything. But actually what I did was the community mobilized, and they worked with governments and they worked within their own community, and they promoted safe sex, and they said, hey, we need to save our lives. We need to act responsibly. And they took care of each other. And I think it reflected back saying, actually, the gay community, you know, and lesbians included, they actually came to the fore, and they were a huge part of educating people and of saving people. And it actually told the world that gay men and women are real people. They're humans, you know, and they had to come out. You know, they had to come out to each other. They had to come out to their parents, to their co-workers and everybody, because people were getting sick. And so it kind of gave a lot of awareness and visibility to, you know, to gay men and women. And it said, you know, we're human and we're real people. And actually they love each other and they care about each other.
So obviously there's a very interesting history in this time and the narratives of all the people involved. I'm really interested as to why you wanted to revisit this history and if you were particularly inspired by any aspect of the story.
Yeah, actually, well, when I sort of grew up as a teenager in the 90s, where I was coming out, I came out late, a lot later, you know, but, you know, just as a teenager. And I remember the Grim Reaper campaign, which some people might remember. It was really scary as a kid. And as I sort of grew older, I realized that, I was gay, and that, well, what happens with gay men is that they get this disease and they die. It's called AIDS, you know? And so I didn't get to have a sort of sexual awakening or any sort of, I just sort of equated gay with death. And so it was really scary for me. It's not my generation, but, it was me sort of growing up in the shadow of AIDS, really. And so when I moved to Sydney and, sort of got into the gay scene, and I sort of just realized that there were all these men that had, you know, had died, and so there was a whole generation of people that I didn't sort of get to know, that I might have, you know, become friends with. And so I think that's sort of what inspired me. And then when I started reading about Australia's story, I realized that Australia, we actually saved more than 25,000 lives because the Liberal government, the Labor government, everybody actually got together and they worked together. Doctors worked together. Gay men and women worked together. And they all came together to fight this. And they didn't, nobody judged each other. Nobody could say, no, this person's innocent or this person deserves to get AIDS. Nobody did that. They just actually worked together to save lives. And we actually did something good. You know, I think more and more like now we're so divided by left and right wing politics, and everybody is sort of just pays one another out, or, you know, we feel like there's no action being taken. You know, people might be frustrated with politics going, they don't do anything. When AIDS is actually a story in Australia where people did something, like we actually made some progress and we saved so many lives. And the rest of the world looks to Australia when an infectious disease happens. They look to Australia to see how they dealt with AIDS. We're an actual model for the rest of the world to see how you deal with a disease. So it's kind of like I wanted to tell a story that, hey, we did something great. Like, we should be really proud of ourselves. And yes, it was tragic. But when we don't judge one another, and when we just actually be practical about things, we can achieve so much more. And I think that's an important message to tell people today in 2019.
Definitely. I think it sounds like an amazing story of resilience and, yeah, definitely a positive message rather than one of just sadness.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what we equate with AIDS, which, you know, and it was a really tragic time. This story, I sort of centre on from 1983 to 1987. So it really just tells the early years of AIDS in Sydney. And we tell it through, like, you know, it's fun as well. It's still, you know, there's gags in it as well. But at the same time, also, it's kind of a bit of an 80s pop musical. So we do have a lot of 80s songs from the era, and they're all sung by there's six actors in the show, so it's a bit of an ensemble piece. So we all sing these songs in an a cappella way. So 80s songs arranged in a kind of choir way. So at the same time, I know people sort of go, oh, God, a story about AIDS, but we are making it entertaining, and it's a really thrilling story, I think, like this story of how AIDS played out in Sydney.
And I think having an a cappella choir is a wonderful way to reignite that narrative in a fun way, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, and people were just, they were really innovative, and they dealt with this huge crisis. Or, you know, all these young guys in their 20s, you know, having their friends sort of die around them, they still, like, were positive, you know, and they still tried to sort of get on with life, and they survived. Rather than being afraid of everything, what they did was they just, like, loved harder than they ever have before. And and I think it's just really beautiful. And so that's kind of the focus of the show. It's like these people who just decide, you know what, I'm not going to live in fear, and I'm not going to I'm not going to be ashamed of myself. I'm actually going to just love even harder than I ever have before, and love myself and love my friends, and show the world that I'm human, you know. So I think it's a positive message. I think people will come away feeling like Australia did something great, and that, you know, the more you just, yeah, I mean, it's cheesy as it sounds, but the more you just love yourself and just, like, own who you are, the most amazing things can happen.
I can't think of a better message for a show.
Yeah, it's a self-help show.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show. I hope that it goes wonderfully.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for having me.
That was Adriano Cappelletto, writer and actor of the play Never Let Me Go, which starts this Wednesday at 7 p.m. as part of the Batch Festival at the Griffin Theatre in Darlinghurst. It runs every night from 7 p.m. until May 11th. So tickets are online at Batch Festival. We'll put all the details up on our show page as usual. Right now, this is a track from Mix. Do You Do It?
No one home. Listening to So Hot Right Now. Catch you guys next week. Have a great Saturday.
When there's nobody else.